Last week, in short time, I went over Israel encroaching upon the promised land, turning around, related that to Christ telling us to take up our cross and follow Him, and challenging the church with the understanding that when Christ calls us to eternal life now, it includes taking up our cross, not just going to a picnic. Much like Israel found the promised land and they found it filled with adversaries, people God had promised would be there, people God promised He would take care of, they turned around. Christians can't turn around from the cross of Jesus. And in conclusion with this truth in religion, I would be remiss to not have an entire message devoted to Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about mentioning Him. I'm talking about devoting something to Him completely. Something my Sunday school class is very well aware of throughout the book of John, the phrase, I am. Its usage throughout the book of John is one of the things that sets it apart. I know that my Sunday school class can name a couple of them. I am the, I heard true vine. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let's hear another one. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. I am the light of the world. And then I am the resurrection. I think there's another one that I'm missing. Did we do bread of life? Well, I heard someone else. It doesn't matter. John lists them all. You can go and read it in the book of John. But there are a couple others in the book of John that we didn't cover, except for one in Sunday school, that commonly get overlooked because it doesn't fit the I am and then it inserts something there. It uses just the very simple Greek phrase. It's two words for I am. John, I'm sure you know how to pronounce it correctly. Thank you. All that sounds to me is ego in me. Right? And I had not had an ego in a while, and we were going over to my parents' house for waffles, and I was like, ego in me. That's exactly what it sounds like. If you want the right pronunciation, you can go to John, and you can ask him to pronounce it for you. You're not going to be able to get me to pronounce it correctly. I have never been good with pronouncing things correctly. You can hardly teach me to sing. Turn to Exodus 3. We get an introduction to this phrase. It shows up in Greek when you read the Septuagint, the Greek version of the Old Testament. So technically it's here in the Greek for the first time, even though it was originally written in Hebrew. God is appearing to Moses before the burning bush, and starting in verse 13 of chapter 3, we see Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is His name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And it's very interesting reading how the Jewish authors wish to translate this verse. Translating it into Greek, we have the ego in me, and we also have, instead of I am who I am, it's really I am the being. You can insert one in parentheses almost there, because when you say that you are the being, it kind of implies that there's only one of you. Kind of like Ali, again, from Wednesday night, I am the greatest. He's not wanting to share that title with anybody. Likewise, God here is stating very quickly, I am who I am the one being. There's no one else besides me. When you go to them and you tell them who sent you, you tell them I am has sent you. The one being has sent you. I don't know that we like to get all metaphysical. It always confuses me and reminds me of really bad science fiction television shows. But we don't even exist as beings compared to God. We do not breathe, think, live the same way He does. He exists on so many different levels and spheres and all kinds of things that when He says, I am, He is saying, y'all are not. You exist, sure. In a way, you exist. I am, and y'all are not. You're not what I am. And when Christ comes along and says this, I am, if you do not accept everything that is in that message, you cannot accept the gospel. For the gospel is what Christ came to tell us. The gospel implies that Christ is Lord, and if He's Lord, that means we listen to everything He says. One of the things He says is, I am. And we're going to look at three places and three times in which Christ says this. One's going to be very miraculous, one's going to be very contentious, and one is just going to be Him laying the smack down as Lord. So turn with me, if you would, first to John 6. Everything's going to be in the book of John. We're going through three different narratives. We're moving really fast today. In the future, this will be multiple parts, but for the sake of putting to rest this series and moving on, I'm going to cover them all in one 2-hour period. Starting in verse 16 of chapter 6, book of John. When evening came, His disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the Sea of Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But He said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they were glad to take Him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. I come to this because I wanted to keep everything in John, but this incident occurs in all of the other Gospels, well, except for Luke. Matthew actually describes when they see Jesus as looking as a ghost. Now, I don't know how many of y'all live far enough outside of the city limits to experience true darkness. But the disciples they're in a storm. Maybe there's some lightning, maybe there's some thunder, but there are no street lights on this sea. There are no harbor lights, except for maybe a couple lanterns. Given that they're in the middle of the sea in a storm, it probably implies that outside of maybe a lantern on their boat, if they have such a thing that's still lit, there is no light. Jesus looks like a ghost coming to Him, coming to them. And in verse 20 of John, He says to them, the ESV translates it, "It is I." It is the Greek phrase, ego in me. I am. And a lot of people are not confident translating it that way. I think that's exactly what Christ meant. He doesn't pronounce Himself, "Hey, it's Jesus." Maybe they could hear His voice through the storm. Maybe when you read, "It is I," they go, "Oh, it's I hear it, it's Jesus. I can tell by His voice." If we read some of the other passages, and we know that they were scared during the storm, then they're scared at this ghost walking past them. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on this because it's not in here. But I'm not sure if they recognized His voice. I'm not sure He was concerned that they recognized His voice. Because the first words out of His mouth in John, it's not the same in others. In others it says, do not be afraid, or take heed, or something along those lines. But here in John, the first words out of His mouth are, "I am. Don't be afraid." The storm's going to die down. Don't be afraid. "You're going to make it. Don't be afraid." He doesn't say that. "I am. Don't be afraid." Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew. It's Matthew chapter 14, it says in my notes. In 22, it says, "Immediately He made the disciples get into the boat and go before Him." 23, "He dismissed the crowd. He went up the mountain by Himself to pray." 24, "But the boat was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves." 25, "And in the fourth watch of the night, He came to them walking on the sea." 26, "It is a ghost." 27, "Take heart, I am, do not be afraid." And then we have the wonderful encounter where Peter walks on water. And at the end, in verse 33, we see, "And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, Truly, you are the Son of God." And for some individuals, this response of "Truly, you are the Son of God" may solely be Christ walking on the water. It may solely be because Christ called Peter out and Peter was miraculously able to walk on the water. But I can't detach it from how Christ introduces himself in this situation. When Christ, knowing this is about to occur, knowing he's about to beckon Peter out on the water, in Matthew he says, "Take heart, I am." I don't know if the disciples caught it. I don't know if the disciples realized that when God revealed himself the first time, it was from this miraculous burning bush. And this time when he reveals himself to the disciples this way, he's walking on water in the midst of a horrible storm. God desires to reveal himself as "I am" in the midst of miraculous circumstances. And Jesus Christ is not going to be shown up by the Father. He's like, "You do the bush thing, I'm going to do the walking on water thing, and it's going to work great. It's going to be wonderful." And the result is that Christ is worshipped. The result is that Christ is worshipped. And far too often, we want to give Christ a title slightly below that. If your finger is still in John, you're going to read in verse 15. The reason why Christ had to retreat into the mountains. It says, "Perceiving then that they were about to come, take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself." King is not good enough. King wasn't right, as we know what he had to do. King is not good enough. You can use all the adjectives and all the titles you want for Jesus Christ. He's not interested in just king, although he is the King of Kings, because they wanted to take him and put him on a throne and maybe obey him and give him some honor. What he wanted was, he wanted to walk on water, shout "I am," and receive the due worship that he deserves from the individuals that he revealed himself to. And many today, and many throughout history, are willing to say that he is a good person. They're willing to call him Lord, but they're not willing to say, "You're I am. You're God." If you turn with me to Matthew 7, a passage you all know, we're going to be here multiple times in Matthew 7 because I keep linking to it. 7:21, you know the verse. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." He's not interested in the title. He's interested in how you respond. He wasn't interested in John when they wanted to make him king. He was interested in revealing himself to his disciples as "I am," and having them worship him. When Christ enters that boat, when he reveals himself, Peter walks on water. The winds cease when Christ gets in the boat. And John says that when he lands in the boat, they actually land on land. Miraculous things happen when Christ reveals himself. Miraculous things occur when we reveal Christ properly. Acts, Paul is walking to the temple. Paul, Peter. Peter's walking to the temple. Got a beggar asking for money. He doesn't give it to him. What does he give him? You're going to have to talk a whole lot louder than that. I heard this, but I'm going to ignore you for a second. Through what? the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. He's first. After this, now the miraculous occurs. It'd have been better if you'd have been like, in the name of I am, and then done it. It would have fit so much better with my sermon. But I'm going to have to settle for just the standard name, Jesus Christ. Peter understood. When Christ reveals Himself, either by Himself or through us, miraculous things occur. Are they always physical? No. But don't try and beat around the bush. God doesn't reveal Himself for nothing. And He doesn't reveal Himself for no purpose. Sometimes it's not a positive purpose, though. Turn with me to John. I'm going to have to turn my page to get the address. 8. Christ has just gotten into it big time with the Pharisees. He's the son of an illegitimate person. They're the son of the devil. It's kind of going back and forth. It's kind of like a your mama, but with your father. And it's reaching the climax. It's getting bad. Verse 48. I'm going to read all the way to 59, then I'm going to come back through it. Then Jesus answered him, the Jews answered him, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan? Ooh, that's a bad one. And have a demon? And that's probably not as bad as a Samaritan. Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Oh man, he got him. They didn't even see that one coming. And Jesus answered him, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, they still haven't caught on that he's baiting them. You are not yet 50 years old. And have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And what's their response? We're going to kill this guy. They did not catch it back in 48. Christ is just leading them in. He is just reeling them like a fish up to the boat so he can say, I am. And then toss him back in the water. Because if you read in verse 9, and he passed by, he's gone. He passes out of the temple and then he's gone. He goes back about his work. He goes to find someone else to reveal himself to. Every time Christ reveals himself as I am, it's not always for edification. It's not always for edification. He's revealing himself as I am to the religious people to get under their skin because it's the truth and they want to reject it. And that's okay for Jesus. You know what? That's okay for us too. If you reveal the truth and it gets under their skin, it's okay. But you need to exalt Jesus Christ the same way the Father chose to exalt him. Not the way you think he's due. You can't upset people because you put a twist on Jesus, because you present him in some cool fashion. You need to present him the exact same way he presents himself. I am. Now, granted, you walk up to someone on the street and you say, Jesus is I am. They may not understand that. You might have to break it down for them. He's God. He did create the world. He is in charge. He did protect his people. He did give a law. He did come and die. He did overcome the powers of sin and death. We can't make those shallow. Christ proclaims it very clearly, I am. Does the truth get under your skin? Does Jesus Christ, as the Gospels proclaim him, get under your skin? If he doesn't, you're probably not reading it often enough. Just going to be honest with you. Elena's reading through the Gospels again. She's making a habit of it. And it seems like every time we read through it, we discuss some things like, man, did Jesus really say that? Did he really do that? I am not Jesus. No shock. I am not like Jesus enough to not be offended. If he does not offend you, you're either not listening or you're responding very much like them, where you're either going to kill him or you're just letting him walk on past you. You're letting him walk on past you. Now I want to go through here and recognize Christ's emphasis in I am is not self-glorification. If you look back in verse 54, someone read verse 54 for me. I am, and his statement of I am, it's not some egotistical self-glorification. That would not fit the purpose of the context he has just set. It's to glorify the Father. Same Father who revealed himself as I am back in the burning bush. He's making the link. He's making the connection. He's hoping that they recognize that when he says, I am, I'm not just lifting myself up. This is the Father's to glorify me. What does he call them? Pretty point blank in 55. He calls them liars. You want to reject the truth of God, Jesus Christ, when he reveals himself as I am. It doesn't matter how much of the rest you have right. You're a liar. That goes for all of us. We've all lied. But the last place you want to be lying is when you're trying to present Jesus Christ as anything less than I am. And it's becoming a fad. Let's make Jesus as likable a person as we can. That way they can be homies. Jesus, while he is interested in being your homie, is interested in being your homie on terms. And there that you recognize that he is the ultimate homie. The one homie. There are no homies like him. He is I am. And you can't cut a sliver of the I am out and say, he's I am minus these few things, now we're good. No. You walk up to someone, you give them anything less than Jesus Christ is I am, you're a liar. You're rejecting what Christ is coming to do, not just because you're rejecting Christ, but you're rejecting a Christ who desires to glorify the Father. And you know what? In presenting a Christ any less than he is, you're not glorifying the Father either. You're not glorifying the Father. And it doesn't fit with Matthew 7:21. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord. But you know what they didn't do? They didn't do the will of the Father. And that's what verse 21 of Matthew 7 ends with. Christ's response is the same on the lake as it is to the arrogant religious people. Miraculously, he's going to reveal himself, I am. Contentiously, he's going to reveal himself, I am. There will be people who do not understand. There will be people who do not recognize what Christ is about. That's not a failure for Christ to reveal himself. Sometimes he reveals himself on purpose that way. Turn with me to Matthew 11. Spiritual knowledge, Paul says, is folly to the natural man. He tells us that in 1 Corinthians 2:14 through 16. Christ in Matthew 11 verse 25 says, at that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. Was it God's gracious will that it was kept or that it was delivered? I'm going to take the safest approach and say both. What causes Christ to respond this way? Verse 20 in Matthew 11, then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. 24 says, "But I tell you that it will be more tolerable in the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you." And then 25 starts with, "At that time." Immediately, Jesus said. Christ's response to people rejecting His works were, "I thank you, Father." Now this is one of the first times through the Gospels that I was really offended at Jesus Christ. Why in the world would you thank the Father, the Lord of heaven and earth, for hiding these things from the wise and understanding? Because they didn't repent. They didn't repent. They denounced the works of Jesus Christ as frauds or tricks of magicians. And Christ said, "I am. You denounce me, things are hidden." Christ in 9 says, "I am." They want to stone him. The response is the exact same. They're gonna miss out. Christ went through those cities, did no more miracles. Christ in 59 of John 6, he hid himself. He hid himself. They couldn't see him anymore. The Savior was gone. Their intent for him was not his intent for them, so he goes. He hid himself and he went out of the temple. Turn with me finally to John 17, 18. It's chapter 18. Verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to him, "Whom do you seek?" They don't quite get it. Jesus does this pretty often. He baits them into defining who he is, and then he corrects them. So he asked them, "Whom do you seek?" Verse 5, they answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, your translation probably reads, "I am he." Jesus said to them, "I am," in verse 6. They drew back and fell to the ground. I'm a pretty impressive person. Let's just all be honest. Thank you, whoever that was. But I have... No, it wasn't. That's what's kind of creepy. But I have never introduced myself and had someone fall backwards. I may have pushed them, but I have never had anyone fall backwards when I introduced myself. Chuck? Terry? Once in faith. Where's Mike? Mike? You might, maybe, once? Did you push them? Were they intoxicated? These guys, as far as I know, these guys were sober. They're on the duty, so I hope they were. And Christ reveals himself, "I am." And they fall back. Now, who are they looking for? They're looking for Jesus. They got Jesus in a way. But they don't get the Jesus they're walking there to look for. They answered him, "We're looking for Jesus the Messiah." There's no, "We're looking for Jesus the Lord, King of the Jews thing." Yeah, that guy. No, "We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. Some homie creating a wreck we gotta take into jail." Not quite sure what his deal is. Some of them may not have even heard of him. I don't know. I'm not going to jump to conclusions. But the one thing I do know is that when they come looking for Jesus, they're just looking for a man. They're looking for a man to crucify. And Christ says, "Before you crucify me, I got another thing coming. I am." And they all fall down, and inadvertently, they are in a position of worship that will be repeated. It will be repeated. Christ often, when he's got a motive, he pushes himself. He doesn't push to get you to say certain things. He pushes you to push him back so that he can reveal himself to you. He did it with the lady at the well. He did it with Paul. He constantly does it throughout his gospel ministry. Who do men say that I am? Good teacher. Who do you call good? For no one is good but God. He's pushing them to come to a full recognized potential of who he is, which is nothing less than I am. And anything less than Jesus Christ as I am is purely a religion. It cannot save you. You can make Jesus Christ into any image that you want. You can give him the title King of Kings. You can give him the title Lord of Lords. You can give him the title Alpha and Omega. But what he's looking for is the response, the recognition that he is, I am, the God, the one being. Because when he fully reveals himself this way, this little incident we see in John pales in comparison. They all fall down. And what does verse 7 say? He asked him again, who do you want? I can't even imagine what they were thinking. Don't say Jesus of Nazareth. We're looking for someone else. Someone in here obviously was getting paid overtime or getting paid really well because they're like, no, we're taking Jesus back. Totally missed out on it. It says, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered them, I already told you that I am. And he says, so if you seek me, let these men go. We're going to come back to the seek me. I'm going to take us back into the falling. Christ did it on purpose. I don't want to think of Christ as a bully who's running around pushing people. He did it on purpose in that when he reveals himself, the effects are the effects. When he reveals himself miraculously and it provides peace, those are the effects. When he reveals himself contentiously and people want to stone him, those are the effects. When he reveals himself and people fall on the ground, those are the effects. That's what happens when Jesus reveals himself. Things happen. If you turn with me, I'm going to find it shortly, to Philippians 2:10. I told you that this falling down thing was a preview, and I didn't give you any verses, so I'm going to read them. Verse 9 of Philippians 2 says, therefore God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. I'm just guessing, I don't think it's Jesus. Although Jesus is a good, great, earthly name. So that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When his name is revealed, the name that God has given him that's far above all others, I don't know if it's going to pale, if I am is even going to pale in comparison. Because every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. Those who wanted to stone him, those who fell on the ground in the garden, who got back up and were like, we're looking for Jesus. It's going to confess, not we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This was promised in Isaiah. Paul repeats it in Romans. If you turn to Acts 4, I believe it is Peter giving a sermon, given how early it is in the book. Verse 12. Actually, I'm going to read verse 11. Yeah, we'll just do 11. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. There is no salvation. There is no salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There's no other name. And as we go back into John 18, verse 8, Jesus answered, I told you that I am He. and then a little verse after this that I had missed. So if you seek me, let these guys go. Let them go. Because where I'm going, what I'm about to do, for those who respond properly to me, it's not for them. The disciples wanted to taste the cup. They wanted to bear the load. And Christ is like, you can't do it. But not only did he tell them he can't do it, he kept them from it because he is the I Am. He reveals himself, they fall down, and then he performs something miraculous. He pushes away the disciples to go to the cross himself. Peter's going to find his own cross. All of the disciples are going to find their own figurative crosses. They're all going to die. They're all going to die glorifying Jesus Christ for saying he is. But for this time, Christ is in salvation mode. He's in savior mode. I don't like thinking of Jesus as like a transformer, but every time he says, I am, he goes into savior mode. I'm going to present myself in the miraculous. I'm going to get under your skin so that I can save a couple. And then here in the garden, I am. Leave them alone. This is my purpose. And any religion, even if it's called Christianity, even if it wants you to look like Jesus Christ, that isn't willing to put him as I am, you're not going to get the Jesus Christ that says, I am, if you seek me, let these men go. You're not going to get that Jesus. I was reading CNN today. I don't often make a habit of reading CNN, but on Sunday mornings they always have wonderfully interesting and infuriating religious articles as their front lesson, front story. Anyone read it this morning? Good. Good for you. And it was talking about speaking Christian. How to speak Christian. Don't go read it. It's a waste of your time. But it was the third time in the last 2 months that they quoted Marcus Borg. Yeah, exactly. This man wants to retain the historical identity of Jesus Christ as he crafts it in his image. Kind of reminds me of the golden calf, but I'm going to skip over that. He wants to do everything in his power to identify that Jesus Christ did not reveal himself as I am. And he is taking a slew of Christians with him. And it's growing every week, it's growing every month, and it's growing every year as this man convinces more and more Christians that they need to look like Jesus without acknowledging that Jesus is I am. And he slips up in a ton of other areas. I don't really care about those because he's got this one wrong. And that's really all that matters. He's leading people under an individual who is not miraculous. He is leading people to a person who is not contentious, and he is leading people to a person who is neither Savior nor Lord. But funny enough, he completely does not believe that the book of John is historically accurate. And that's why I started my first one, my miraculous, with an event that occurs in all the Gospels but Luke. Because for me, one incident of Jesus Christ saying, I am, is enough for me to link him to God. I don't need to hear it over and over and over again. I want to be the person who only has to hear it once. How many times is Christ going to be revealed to you as I am? Are you going to worship him like the disciples? Are you going to stone him like the Pharisees? Are you going to fall to the ground like Judas and those wishing to crucify him? Or are you going to be one of the people who's already following him so close that he says, this is me, let them go? let them go. You see it? You put it there. That's who He is. Real simple. You know what? There's a time coming where people aren't going to be able to sing this. They're willing to give this up so that more people can come to church on Sunday. I was about to say something really rude. I'm not going to. This is what we stand for. Not because we need to glorify ourselves, but because this is what Christ did to glorify the Father. Matthew 7:21. It's really, this whole section comes off of verse 15, in my opinion. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered by thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. And in my opinion, Christ is saying, these same people who say to me, Lord, Lord, they will not enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And then will I declare to you, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Give Christ all the titles you want. Make Him a person to be followed. Call it Christianity, because that's really, I mean, that's what Christian stands for. Little Christian. Little Christ. Look like Christ all you want. If He's not I am. If He's not God. You're just crafting yourself into some frail, non-existent, imaginary human being who didn't go to the cross, who didn't come out of the grave, and isn't going to recognize you when you get to heaven and say, Lord, Lord. Is He I am? If you'll pray with me.